Your conference is being recorded.
Well, welcome everybody. I see Carly in the chat. I'm not sure if Nathan, Lindsay, and Megan, you're able to jump in the chat just in case we have some things to share back and forth. But if not, that's totally okay. There's not a lot of us on the call, so we will be able to just speak up when it works rather than worrying about cutting people off or anything like that. So I'd like to acknowledge that this is our second call for RS-101 Recreation and Sports Systems, and I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Ton Kwachin Council. As usual on our calls, we'll do a quick round of introductions and look at some of the content for the week, and I might throw some surprise Jeopardy questions in at you. So. You know, I don't know. It's okay if you haven't had a chance to look at it, but it just makes the call a little bit more fun. Ask you some of the Jeopardy questions about our recreation and sports system. Before we get into today's call, I just wanted to ask everyone on the call and also those who may listen to the call afterwards to take a few moments just for reflection. I'd like you to reflect on the essential nature of recreation and on how you, as a recreation leader, make your community a better place for everyone, even when times are tough, so through good times and through hard times. We started the call before we recorded it about asking each other how things were going, and I'm finding it's tough this month. It's been a tough week, a tough month, and a tough few years, but I'd like to really commend you guys and think about it. You're here. You're doing the important work that you do. You're really making sure that recreation happens in your communities. And if you think about it, your work in recreation is what helps other people get through a multi-year pandemic, lend a hand during a public emergency such as the water emergency that Iqaluit's facing, and also to support each other emotionally when a tragedy happens, as did it in Faro this past week. The work that you do in recreation is absolutely essential. And if you think about it, it's also preventative. Recreation isn't just about your facilities, your special events, your programs, your parks, or your trails. Recreation is about providing experiences that foster physical and mental health, and also social well-being. So please never forget that your recreation programs and services bring people together from all walks of life, and they build a sense of community. And we really need those strong relationships that recreation builds when life gets challenging or when tragedies occur. So just take a moment, reflect on what you do, and say to yourself, you know, this is really important. What I do in recreation is really important. And my apologies if I'm feeling a bit emotional. I feel like there's a lot of things that have happened. And for those of you who aren't in the Yukon, there was a tragic shooting in one of the communities just 2 days ago. And I kind of feel like that sort of come to the top and made me reflect on life a little bit. So, but I'd like to really commend you for what you do, because it's because of recreation that our communities are stronger, so thank you. So let's start with some introductions, and let's just go around, and I usually have a question that I ask people when I do introductions, but let's just start with an icebreaker that I sometimes do when I'm in person. It is getting to winter, but I think winter is a little late arriving here, so it makes me think of temperature and thermometers. So when you introduce yourself, just take a moment and say where you're at on that thermometer. Are you below zero, at zero, or way above zero? And why are you feeling that way today? And so I'll start, and then if it's okay, I'd like to go in the order that you joined the call. So that would be Carly, Nathan, Lindsay, and then Megan. So as you know, I'm Caroline, and I'm joining you from Whitehorse, and I would say my temperature today is a little, it's not below zero, it's definitely above there, but the sun's shining, and I do feel hopeful. So I would say I'm around 10 degrees at the moment on the thermometer. So Carly, how about yourself? Would you like to introduce yourself and just if you feel like it, you don't have to share where you're at on the thermometer, but if you feel like it.
I'm Carly, calling from Whitehorse. Today I'm slightly above zero. I think the sun is making me a little hopeful. Things are coming off my plate slowly, so feeling less overwhelmed in life in general. So yeah, above zero for me.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Nathan, how about yourself? Would you like to introduce yourself and if you feel like it, share where you're at on that thermometer?
Yeah, my name is Nathan Wilson for anybody new. I don't know if you're anybody new or not, but I'd say I'm maybe at like a solid 8 or 9 degrees, I'd say. No, I'm fine. I've been doing all right.
That's great, and it sounds like you got some good things to look forward to this weekend too. So,
yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Nathan. Over to you, Lindsay.
I'd say I'm probably above zero. We have some exciting things that are going to be coming in to our rec center in November that I'm excited about. So that makes me happy, but it is really sad what's happened in Faro in that community. So I don't know, kind of above zero, but not sure where.
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of shocks you for a little bit. And then, you know that I think we can all get through this because communities are really tight across the north. So thanks, Lindsay. Over to you, Megan, to introduce yourself. And if you'd like to share where you're at on a thermometer, that would be great. And if not, no worries.
Yeah, I'm Megan Hashi. I would say I'm above zero. I'm just looking outside right now, and we don't have any sun. It's been raining the past few days, which is really weird for this time of year, this late in October. But our lake is finally freezing up. I'm just waiting for the snow. I feel like that'll be a good fresh start. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it, when you're not used to rain and it's starting to get darker and it's kind of dreary. thanks, Megan. Thanks. Oh. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's a little gloomy for this time of year, but it's fine.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody in Arvia and they said the same thing. So I'm like, it's raining. What's it doing raining at the end of October in Nunavut? This is so very odd times. Well, thanks so much, everybody. The other question that I had when you introduced yourself, and just to sort of get into our topic for the week, is I'm wondering if you can tell me about an organization outside of the recreation field with whom you work. So I'm going to pop the question in there, and Nathan, I'm going to put you on the spot. Each time I'll go around our circle, and I'll just start with a different person. So we'll go Nathan, Lindsay, Meg, and Carly. But to give Nathan a chance to think about it, I'll just tell you about an organization outside of the recreation field with whom I work, and then we'll go to Nathan next. So I've been sort of not necessarily working, but collaborating, coordinating, communicating with the Arctic Inspiration Prize organization since the Recreation North Partnership won the Arctic Inspiration Prize in 2015. And they're a really amazing organization. They do a lot of good work across the north. You may be familiar with some of the projects they funded, from like Foxy for $1 million in NWT, to I can't even begin to start how many there are in Nunavut. They funded a lot of, or given prize money for a lot of projects in Nunavut as well, and some in the Yukon. And I think the thing that's so neat about the Arctic Inspiration Prize is it's prize money. It's not a grant. You don't have to report on every single cent, and you don't have to give it back if you don't use it all. As long as you're using it in the direction and for the purpose that you originally thought, then you're allowed to keep it. And this year they just closed nominations, and I think this year it's their 10th anniversary, so they're giving out more prize money this year. It's a wonderful organization. Nathan, how about yourself? What's an organization that you work with that's not necessarily within the recreation field?
So far, I've worked with the stores, both stores, like in general, the Yard Valley General Store and the Northern Store, and we've worked with the fire department. I'm on the fire department, so it's like, I'm basically working just like, you know, with the fire department, but recreation has worked with them. We had like fire prevention day activities at the rec hall last weekend, and I'd say good to work with them because like, you know, they're in the community, and it kind of lets the youth, you know, it lets the youth kind of look up to people within the community that they know as role models, I guess. Because one thing I've always like kind of found ever since I became a firefighter is like, it seems like the really younger kids, like, they think firefighters are the coolest. I just say that. Outside of the community, like, I haven't really worked with anybody outside of recreation. Everybody I've worked with so far has, like, you know, been within the recreational field, so.
But that's a great example. I mean, that ties into our last learning event on leadership, right? So now you're working with an organization, and firefighters are role models. Like, kids always look up to firefighters. There's something about that, right? Like, they're strong. They help us in emergencies. And it's great to see the women that are entering that too. So.
I think we have more women in the fire department now than men here in New York.
That's awesome. That's really great. It's nice to be able to be a role model across the population. So thanks for sharing that. That's a good example. And you also mentioned like Northern Stores, so private business as well as organizations. So definitely some good examples of who recreation can work with. Lindsay, how about yourself? I imagine you probably have more than one organization outside the recreation field with whom you work, but would you like to share one with us?
Sure. One of my favorites that I've been using a lot lately is the Wildlife Viewing Group out of Yukon Government. Their mandate is to provide information and programming about wildlife and information of different habitats and just kind of that information piece. And this past year, I've used them as different components in our events just to bring in awareness about what you might see on a trail, or if you're out walking, what birds you might see. So there's a little bit more of education and walking, or there's going to be something with families where you go and learn about toads. So they are able to cross promote their programming, and we're able to get more fun things at our events. So Wildlife Viewing is probably my favorite one right now.
That's great. I see them on Facebook a lot. And I think the other thing that you're doing by bringing in a group like that is you're really working towards goal number 3 for the Framework for Recreation in Canada, which is to connect people with nature. And so, you know, combining recreation in a group that is about nature and putting the two together is a great way to do that. They've also found, too, that when we connect people better to nature and they understand it better, people are more likely to want to conserve and protect their natural environment rather than, not take care of it. So that's really great, especially in a city where you might not get the same experiences as in a small community. Thanks, Lindsay. Mm-hmm. Megan, how about yourself? Is there an organization or a group or a business that you work with that's outside of the recreation field?
Just in general, I'd say a lot of the stuff I do in work and outside of work deals with education. So, like, as I was saying, we're trying to convince schools and district authorities to allow students to go back into the gyms. So we've created, like, sports and COVID-safe guidelines and, like, different things that we can work with. And then even outside of work, like, I spend a lot of the time in the school gyms playing basketball, like, coaching and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'd say education is a big one.
Yeah, and the smaller the community, the more important that is, right? Because of the spaces, but it also gives you a bit of a captive audience because you have all those kids in the school as well. And it's a nice way to reach kids that perhaps, you know, might not be engaged in recreation outside of school hours as well. Thanks, Megan. Carly, how about yourself? Is there a group or an organization or a business that you work with that's outside of the field of recreation?
Yes. When thinking about this, I think back to when I was coordinating summer camp for the city 2 years ago before COVID, because it changed. But we filled our days with a lot of field trips to different places around the city, and it was nice, and some of them were free, so like we could bring the kids to the museums in Beringia, or we worked with Women in Trades and Technology to bring them in. We basically did something every second day around the city, so I feel like I got to know a lot of the organizations through that around town. Yeah, that's kind of the biggest one.
Yeah, I think that that's great to be able to connect people, because you're also connecting them to their community, right? And then they might, after the kids have been in your program, they might go and take their parents to the museum or the Beringia Center afterwards. So,
you know,
those connections.
Rock climbing.
Yeah.
And they enrolled in rock climbing, and we brought martial arts down, and then they enrolled in martial arts. It was awesome.
Yeah, so you can really see, Lindsay, that was you rejoining the call, right? Not somebody else jumping in?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Thanks. You can really see how important it is to not only work well within our system, which is what we talked about last week, and how when our system is coordinated, it works better. But we also recognize the need to work outside of our system because it really supports what we do. So if you've had a look at the slides, slide 16 shows you that you can sort of think about our recreation and sports system in a number of different ways. You can think about national, territorial, and local levels, but you can also think about representation from public, private, nonprofit sectors, and also community groups, which is even less formal. So it's helpful to actually think of those different parts. And one thing that I challenge people to do is to look at who you're already working with and figure out, are you missing any parts? Like Nathan, you mentioned working with your northern stores. We don't always in recreation think about working with private business, but we've got some amazing private businesses across the north that really support recreation. You might not always think of working with a mine like what Megan was explaining with that Baker Lake does. So it's helpful to look at the system and split it out and then figure out who is it that I am working with and where are there some opportunities to work with others. If you think about really how this divides up, organizations, it's kind of interesting to think about these different sectors too. So the public sector, the private sector, and the social or community sector. So I'll just explain a bit about each of those. So when you think about the public sector, and most of you are in the public sector, actually you all are, I think, Canada Game Centre, Fort Liard, and Nunavut Sport and Rec Division. So that's all the public sector. So often in the public sector, we focus on structure, laws, and information, and providing public services that make sure the basic needs and rights are met. So this is really where our municipal recreation departments and territorial governments fit, is in that public sector. If you think about the business or private sector, they're usually pretty quick, much more quick than government, to respond to different opportunities and challenges. So businesses sometimes focus a little bit more on goods and services and employment and economic growth. So one example could be a bowling alley that's run privately. That's an example of a recreation-related business. Or, you know, a lot of the sort of on-the-land tourism businesses or a combination of tourism and recreation in a way together, like adventure recreation. And then when you look at the social or community sector, which that's the one I've worked primarily with the Recreation Parks Association of the Yukon and communities, that often includes like nonprofit groups and also informal groups. Like, so there might be an informal walking group, for example. And in the nonprofit sector or social or community sector, they focus more on social development. So opportunities for individual growth and also for making sure that services are available for those who are marginalized or excluded. And so I think it's really important in recreation that we understand that there's many different parts that make recreation work. And when you understand where your role is and what the role of the other sectors or parts of the system are, or even the people outside of the system, then what you can do is you can access, you can sort of see where the resources are and try and access those to strengthen what you do in your community. So I'm going to pause for a minute, and I'm going to ask you a really quick Jeopardy question. So the Jeopardy was linked on slide 17, but just quick, and if you're in the chat, pop the answer in the chat. And Megan, I don't think you're in the chat, so if you know the answer, you get to speak it out, but everybody else has to pop it in the chat. So the question is, what is Canada's national summer sport? So if you can guess, pop it in the chat or speak it out.
Is it lacrosse?
It is lacrosse. Woohoo! You get 500 points for that. Carly, you get 500 points for putting lacrosse in. Yes, a lot of times we see national sport, and what's the first thing that comes to mind, anybody? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Canada's national sport?
Hockey,
yes, exactly. But it's interesting that the national summer sport is lacrosse. So I don't know, not too sure. I know that in the Yukon Aboriginal Sports Circle tried to run lacrosse for a bit. I don't think they're doing it right now. And I'm not aware of anywhere else across the three territories where there is lacrosse. Megan, is there any in Nunavut that you know of?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, Nathan, how about NWT? Do you know of any lacrosse in NWT?
I think Yellowknife might have something, because I know they have a couple French schools. But, they have a couple French schools, so I think they have some lacrosse there, because when I was younger, like, our school had lacrosse equipment, and I think, like, you know, I'd seen some stuff about lacrosse in Yellowknife, but I never found it too popular, like, far, you know, in the north and stuff.
Yeah, I think you probably need the appropriate space outside. Well, I guess you can play it in the gym, too. Lindsay or Carly, mm-hmm. do you guys know of any in Whitehorse or the Yukon?
Not that I know of, and I never even played it, like, growing up in gym class. They never even taught it to us, so I don't even know what rules or how to play.
So interesting. I believe that lacrosse is one of the sports at the North American Indigenous Games. So kind of just an interesting aside. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So you guys just introduced some of the organizations outside of the field of recreation that you work with. And I think that, you know, working with these different sectors, whether it's education, as Megan mentioned, you know, emergency services like Nathan mentioned, or, you know, other community services like museums and environment, things like that. I think it's really interesting and really valuable to work across sectors. So I just have a bit more of a deeper question that I'm going to ask you. And Lindsay, I'm going to put you on the spot first this time. So we'll go Lindsay, Megan, Carly, Nathan. And I'm just wondering if you can share some of the benefits or advantages that you find when you coordinate efforts with others outside the sport and rec field. And you might have already touched on some of those, but if anything else a little broader comes to mind, please feel free to share. So, Lindsay, any other thoughts other than what you've mentioned about working with the Wildlife Viewing about benefits or advantages about coordinating with others?
Yeah, I think generally I look towards outside groups to help fill in the event or the activity that I'm doing. I think of Santaland and the City Lights Tour that we used to host here at the city, and we'd have the candy guy, we'd have a business that would run the cookie decorating, we'd have the mad students who would be elves and they would animate our space. We had transit taking people around doing lights tours. So I think in that regard, it just gives more flavor and activates your space more when you have different walks of life coming in to your group or to your event. I also find, too, there's so much opportunity for your event or your activity or your programs to be brought to different communities, in the sense of a bus driver has a different social network than, a candy decorator person. So it helps get the message out. And I also think that it makes my life as a coordinator easier because I don't have to plan everything. I just rely on others to help me get to the goal of providing a successful event.
Yeah, that's a great way. So you're that coordinating and bringing people in that share common sort of services or goals or whatever it is with your event, but then it lets everybody sort of shine as well, right? So it's not just about just your organization.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Lindsay. Megan, I know you've touched on this with education, but are there any other benefits or advantages that come to mind when you coordinate with others outside of the sport and rec field?
Well, I'm in the territorial government, so I think it's really important that we work with other divisions and other departments just to make sure that we don't contradict one another and make sure all the information and all the resources are consistent. Like if we have education saying one thing and health saying another thing and then sport and recreation saying something completely different, then it just messes everything up. So it's making sure that we all have the same information and we all have the same guidelines and rules for everyone else, I guess.
Yeah, and that's a really good way to explain it. I was speaking yesterday with somebody from your population health. She got the injury prevention and the school messaging file. It was quite interesting. And so she was saying how important it would be for her to hear the messages from Sport and Rec Division about school health, particularly related to physical activity. So that's a really, what you're saying is very, very important, because if people hear conflicting messages, they're not sure which one to listen to and they don't trust any of them, right? So excellent point. Thank you so much. Carly, how about yourself? Can you, do you have any other than what you've shared earlier on the call, any other benefits or advantages that come to mind about when you coordinate efforts with others outside of the sport and rec field?
I think an advantage would be not everyone starts off in recreation. Maybe the people that you're coordinating with are starting off in that area or grew up not being in sports, so that maybe it's a way that they can jump into sports or get to know recreation through recreation coordinating with other areas, if it's education or other nonprofit groups. I think it's a good way to introduce others to sport if that's not where they are already.
Right, so introduce people as individuals or introduce their organizations to sort of sport and recreation, or?
Yeah, I think individuals. I never grew up doing sports, but I was a dancer. So I think I would only have gotten into recreation if I hadn't worked with or been around the city or camps or something that bridged the gap for me.
Yeah, so that working together is important, because as an individual, it opens up your eyes to more possibilities of what you can do as you get older, because often what we do or know as kids guides us into adulthood, right? Something like that?
Yeah, totally.
Thanks. Yeah, that's a really good perspective. I often haven't thought about it from that individual perspective, but that makes really good sense why we want to coordinate and involve a greater number of organizations and resources so that people are more aware. So thank you. Nathan, how about yourself? You've shared a couple of benefits or advantages already, but does anything else come to mind about the benefits or advantages of coordinating efforts with others outside of our field?
I was thinking similar to Carly there, it would build capacity and introduce more people and more organizations into recreation, so that way you have more partners and resources and help that you can ask for. So I was thinking basically the same thing there, just kind of helps build capacity for your recreation.
Exactly, and keep in mind that capacity. So Carly was talking more about on an individual to group level. I think, Nathan, you're talking about on a group level as well, but as Megan mentioned, it can also be on a broader level too, like across the territory or across the government as well. So that's why that slide that I put in there, showing the different, actually slide 16, that shows that how we sort of can look at all the different components that we might work with in recreation and sport. And I think it's really important to keep that in mind so you can kind of figure out, okay, I need to do this. Who do I need to work with? Well, maybe it's not somebody in my local community. Maybe it's somebody at a territorial level that I need to, I need to help me with this part of what I want to do or something like that. Or maybe it's a private business rather than a nonprofit. So thanks everybody. Those are really valuable ways of sort of, or advantages to coordinating efforts with others. And I think from a really big picture level, over the years, and I'm dating myself when I talk about this, but we've had things like nationally around health, like diabetes prevention, obesity, poverty, the prevention of chronic disease. Those are really big, complex social issues, and recreation can help all of those. So I think that we can also think about what we can do for them just as much as what they can do for us. So by all of us working together, we can achieve small things in our communities, but we can also achieve bigger things that might not have been our goal right off the bat. So if you get more kids active in your community and they create a pattern of being active over their lifespan, then you're actually helping reduce things like obesity and chronic disease. So I know it seems a little far removed, but it's important to keep that in mind because those might be some of the groups that you actually end up working with sometimes. So just one more bit of information, and then we'll have another round of conversation. So if you have a look at slide 21. Slide 21 explains that there's different ways that we work with other groups and organizations. And I think this part is interesting to understand or helpful to understand. And on slide 21, it asks you, how do you work with others? What relationships could you strengthen and how would you do that? So the reason why this is important is people often talk about collaboration. If you're in the chat, put a big yes in there if people tell you you should collaborate more. Megan, do you hear about, I know you're not in the chat, do you hear about people telling you to collaborate more?
Yeah, we've definitely gotten feedback that the division could do more communicating and collaborating with others, like specific groups of people.
Yeah, and Carly's popped in there, yes, too. Lindsay said no, and Nathan hasn't had that yet. So the reason why I pick on that word collaborating, and thanks for answering that, Carly and Megan, is collaborating actually takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of resources. So there are different ways. Megan just used the word communicate, and communicate is part of collaborate, but communicate is a little, it's not as time consuming as collaborate. So if you think about, I'm not sure if you have this slide in front of you or not, so I'll try and explain it. I think about ways to work with others on sort of like a continuum where we can network on one end and collaborate on the other end. And network is another word for that, could be communicate as well. Then we could coordinate, we could cooperate or collaborate. So imagine in your mind that networking or communicating is simply exchanging information. Oh, we've got this happening, you know, this weekend. Okay, we've got this happening. Or, you know, next week is, you know, Halloween event in our community, and we're running a haunted house at such and such a place. Thus, communicating. Coordinating is the next step beyond that. It's making sure that what you do aligns with another organization or doesn't overlap it. So, Nathan, if you're running a haunted house in your community and another group is running a haunted house on the same day, that's not necessarily coordinated. So you might want to chat to each other and figure out if you're going to cooperate and do it together, or if you're just going to coordinate it and you run it on one day and they run it on another day. So coordination in a place, in a small community is usually a bit easier. In a big community like Whitehorse or Yellowknife can be a little bit more challenging. Because it's making sure that what you do aligns with your mandate and other organizations, but also that calendar schedule. And then the next type of relationship is cooperation. So when you cooperate, you're perhaps sharing resources. So you're sharing things like you both contribute to a program, or you both use the same office space, or you know, you share funding that you have with a couple of organizations, so you're cooperating on things. And then you would get to collaboration, and collaboration is a much deeper level of working together, and usually it means that you share the same goals and a similar mandate, and that what you're going to do together benefits your organizations, your stakeholders, and your clients or public. So that's why I think in government, sometimes that word collaboration is used. So I'm just wondering if you can share with me, if you think, I'll pop the words in the chat in case you don't have it in front of you, but if you think of networking or communicating, then the next level coordinating, then cooperating, and then collaborating, if you could just share with me which one of those you think you do the most in your role, and just describe it slightly. So, Megan, I'm going to put you on the spot first this time. So we'll go Megan, Carly, Nathan, Lindsay. So, Megan, I know you're not in the chat, but out of networking and communicating, coordinating, cooperating, or collaborating, which one do you think you do the most in the work that you do?
Probably cooperating.
Yeah, so working with other groups and organizations and sharing resources.
Yeah, like I said, we kind of have to make sure that everything we do is consistent with other departments, and just making sure that we know what's going on other places, and knowing, making sure that we're talking to people, but not necessarily always like exchanging capacity and resources and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And that'll be interesting. We'll see what everybody else says, because you've got the territorial government perspective. So let's go over to Carly. So the city of Whitehorse, right? So a municipal perspective. Carly, which one of these do you think that you do perhaps the most in your work?
I think between cooperate and collaborate, I think being part of special events, I think we try and collaborate with a lot of outside groups. For example, we just did International Day of Older Persons, and I brought in 4 or 5 nonprofit groups to be a part of the event. So, yeah, I think collaborate with that one.
Thanks, Carly. Yeah, it does take time, right? So it probably is a fair amount of the time and the work that you, or the time that you spend at work is on working with, doing that collaboration, right?
Totally. And trying to make it worthwhile for them as well. So it's not just us getting things out of it and using them. It's making sure that they also feel like it's going to benefit them as well.
Exactly. And that's the key difference between collaboration and the other ones, that it has to benefit both organizations that are, or all the partners that are collaborating. So really good point. Thank you, Carly. Nathan, how about yourself? Do you feel that at work you do more networking, communicating, coordinating, cooperating, or collaborating?
I'd say I do more networking and communicating, but then I think in the way you have it listed, it's like I do most networking, communicating, and, you know, some coordinating, less cooperating than coordinating, and less collaborating than cooperating. Like, you know, just kind of I do a lot more networking, communicating, and collaborating, I should say.
Yeah, and you know, I know I've got them listed sort of on this continuum, and there's no right or wrong way of working with other organizations. And if you think about for yourself, you're reasonably new in your role and in the community. So, you know, it makes sense that you start with just networking and communicating. If you jump into collaborating, you know what a small community is like when you're like, you're new in the community and they don't quite trust you yet. They don't quite know where you're coming from. They're probably not going to be willing to have that relationship to collaborate right off the bat. So you're probably starting where you absolutely need to start.
Well, we've started like some things. We've done some cooperating with like different organizations in the NWC. Like we're going to be starting an elders program soon. So then I'd say it's like, you know, slowly like trickling to, you know, I'm getting faster at networking and communicating, and we're actually like starting stuff now.
That's great. Yeah, and I mean, you still have to do that networking, communicating, right? Because there's still always people that don't know what you're doing or need some information about things. But like you said, as you start to sort of develop your programs and the way it's running, you can move into coordinating and cooperating and collaborating. So. Awesome. Thanks, Nathan. Lissy, I noticed it says you've left the chat. Are you still on the call?
Yeah, I'm on the call. I just got called away from somewhere else, but I can be versatile. I'm on my phone and your phone, so it works.
Okay.
For me, I think it depends. Like, I see it's on a spectrum, but I have a strong network within the Whitehorse community that I rely on a lot for a variety of different things. And I'd like to say that I generally, I think it depends. It depends on where we're at within our relationship of trust and coordinating, between networking, collaborating, communicating, or cooperating. I do a lot of collaborative works. Like 2 days ago, we met with our physical literacy rep from YC, and we're like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if? And now that wouldn't be cool if turns into a 2-hour boot camp on physical literacy where we'll have you, YGs, or City Whitehorse staff, Boys and Girls Club staff, and our Paul and Dunn First Nations youth workers that are going to come together, and we're just going to do this because it's the right thing to do and it makes sense. It just came out of a meeting, and wouldn't it be cool if? And so we shared those ideas, and we're like, yeah, and now this is going to happen. So we're like, okay, this is cool. So we got it together and to happen, so it was more collaborating. But on some of my networks, I'm still very early on creating that relationship, so it's a lot of information sharing. So I think it always depends on, for me.
Yeah, and sort of judging or being perceptive about what's going on around you and where other groups are at too.
Yeah, because I think the worst thing to do is you go into an experience without really knowing where everyone's at in their development or where they're at in their phases or what their needs are, and then you have a negative experience with a group, and then you don't want to kind of work there again with them because, you know, or they don't want to work with you because it's negative. So it's working on those small successes to make it work, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, especially when you're talking about nonprofit groups, people change frequently, right? So if the people involved in that group change, you might have a very different experience the next time too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks, Lindsay. I think it's great to hear how you work across sectors and how, where you sort of work, where you focus your efforts and in what ways. And just, I think the key takeaway from this week of the learning event is that our system is complicated. We need to work with others to do more in our communities. And sometimes step back and look at, am I always working with the same groups? Because to make sure that recreation is accessible, inclusive, we need to mix up a little bit about who we work with and be creative. So if you can be creative in how you work with others and with whom you work and make sure you're drawing on different sectors and different areas, then I think that you're going to end up with a recreation program that is very well supported in your communities and also that people buy into, and that allows you to do more with fewer resources. So that's kind of my key takeaway message. And just to wrap up the call, I wanted to ask you guys a couple of other Jeopardy questions. One that I have in here, and I'll pop it in the chat. I know not everybody's in the chat, so I'll read it out. And this one's maybe I should ask you an easier one first. So I'm going to ask you one, and I'm not sure if you'll all recognize it, but let's see who does. So the question is, what is the name of the walking program that made CBC national TV in January 2015? So it's probably the most popular walking program across all of our three territories. Ah, Nathan, you got it.
Nordic Walking?
No, it's Walk to Touch. So NWT, Rec and Parks Association, has been doing Walk to Tuck for more than 10 years, maybe longer, right, Nathan?
I believe so. I know I've seen it, like, all growing up. So.
Yeah, so probably even 15 years. And in the last few years, they've opened it up so Nunavut and also Yukon can participate as well. And so it's a virtual walking program. You actually don't have to go outside and walk all the way out to Tuck. But so, you know, it's something the Canada Game Centre, you guys can support. Registration usually starts, I think, in December or right after Christmas. So, Nathan, you get 300 points for a walk to Tuck. Woohoo! Okay, here's another one, and maybe not everybody knows this, but let's see who knows this one. In this community, so you have to tell me which community, Indigenous youth have spent 10 years converting traditional trails into a world-class mountain biking destination. Anyone know what community it is? Carcross! Yay, Carly! So you get points for that one. So if Nathan and Megan, if you're interested, there's an amazing movie that toured with the Banff Film Festival a few years back called Shift. And if you just look up Shift and mountain biking, it's a really good story. So I think I've hyperlinked it or added it into the Jeopardy slides. Okay, here's the last bonus question. And let's see, this one might be a little tougher, but this is like my bonus Jeopardy question. So the question is, and you can speak up if you're not in the chat. The question is, what award established in 1951 serves as a proud symbol for Indigenous peoples in Canada?
The Tommy Longboat Award.
Awesome! Way to go! That's worth 500 points, too. Thanks! That's great, Nathan. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. But that is 60 years ago they established that award. And just for a bit of background, Tom Longboat, he was an Onondaga distance runner, and he was born in Six Nations in Ontario in 1887. And he's actually one of the most celebrated and accomplished athletes in Canadian history and one of the world's greatest long-distance runners. So he helped establish marathon running as an international sport, and he won marathons like the Boston Marathon in 1907 in record-breaking time. So I mean, that's more than 100 years ago. And Tom is a member of the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame and also the Indian Hall of Fame. And in 2008, Ontario passed an act that proclaimed June 4th to be Tom Longboat Day. So just a little bit of interesting trivia about our sport and rec system. So I just wanted to thank everybody for joining the call. Thank you very much for participating in your ideas today. I will stop the recording and then please stay on the line if you have any questions. I'm hoping, I think most of you have picked what you're going to present. So I see Nathan, you're there, Carly, Lindsay, and Megan. So you guys have already, you're already set for your required learning activity for this week, but I will stay on after I stop the recording in case there's any questions. And then I believe that next week we don't have a conference call or a learning event, and then we'll start one on November 8th, and this will be our last one before Christmas. It's RS-102, which is Get to Know Your Community, and it has some fun activities in it too. So thank you very much for being on the call today. Thank you, and all the best for your Halloween festivities, and I'll talk to all of you in November. Feel free to stay on if you have any further questions. Enjoy the sunshine, and Megan, I hope the sunshine comes out for you guys in Baker Lake, too.